Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special this evening. I love that thought that He is always enough. And what a great blessing it is tonight to be able to gather once again as a church family, although under unusual circumstances, to be able to gather once again. And of course, the Bible says where two or three are gathered in my name, the Lord is there with us. And certainly we think about all those that are watching this evening and gathering together as a church family through the internet. And what a great blessing that is. I encourage you to take your Bible, invite you to take your Bible and turn to Psalm chapter 11 this evening. Psalm in chapter 11, and I've been praying this week about what I would preach on tonight, and of course what we're dealing with, and the Lord directed me to this psalm. It's something that I've been kind of studying over the last couple of weeks and thinking about in light of what we're dealing with, and of course the author of this psalm is David, and David wrote this psalm. It's believed at a time of great trouble in his life. In fact, Pastor mentioned this morning when David was on the run from King Saul, he wrote this psalm. And we'll look at 1 Samuel chapter 18 in just a minute as well, which is the context for this passage. But I want to read verses 1 through 3, and eventually we'll study all seven verses of this passage tonight. But the Bible says in Psalm 11 in verse 1, "In the Lord put I my trust." And I just thought about that as we are getting into this message. What a great place to start for all of us, and just putting our trust and our faith in the Lord. And of course, I know there's a lot of opinions on news, and a lot of people want to think maybe they know what's going on, but I'm so thankful we can trust in the Lord tonight. Thankfully, we have the ability to call upon Him. And so David would say there, "In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart." And then David asks this question, "If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Lord, as we come before you tonight, we're so thankful for who you are. We're thankful for your goodness, Lord, and as we gather, Lord, together as a church family, although spread out, Lord, throughout our city, and Lord, many even watching maybe from further away than that, Lord, I pray that you'd unite our hearts together tonight. Lord, we're so thankful for the music throughout the day, Lord. We're so thankful for the message from Pastor this morning. And Lord, what a great blessing it's been to hear the reports of, Lord, Sunday school classes being able to get together and having a junior church class for our kids, Lord, and our church just finding unique ways to stay connected, Lord, during this time. And I pray that you'd help us tonight as we gather once again under your word, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to get exactly what we would have need of. Lord, I pray that you would use me to preach your word tonight. Lord, help me to preach it with boldness. And I pray for each and every person that will watch tonight, Lord, that you would work in their hearts and in their lives as well. Lord, we love you and we thank you for all these things. In your name I pray. Amen. I've entitled this message, "What Happens When Life Changes?" That's a great question for all of us to consider tonight. Certainly a relevant question that as each of us are facing possibly new information on a daily basis, we watch maybe a task force get it in front of a camera and tell us some new recommendations. And, of course, information is changing. And we're dealing with, hopefully not for a long time, but what we would call the new normal. When all these changes are happening in our lives. And certainly in my lifetime, I don't recall this much time of rapid change, at least this quickly. And my kids, we were talking the other day, and I can't remember which one, but one of them asked, and they said, "Dad, are we living through history right now?" And it certainly seems that this is something that will be remembered, that this will be taught in the history books, not only for our nation, but our entire world and what we go through. And yet it seems that our world is upended. All that which was normal just a few weeks ago is now completely different. And to be quite honest, can I tell you, a lot of people are struggling with that. We are creatures of routine. I like to have a routine in which I go through and just a normal day, and I can tell you, listen, my day looks nothing like it looked just a few weeks ago. And so I think sometimes as people we struggle because we get set in our ways and we get a routine, and yet we're dealing with some difficulties. And we study this psalm because it's written by the psalmist David upon experiencing some significant changes himself. I'm so thankful that God has given to us His Word and recorded. And listen, I think you understand this. We are not the only ones that have ever dealt with difficulty. We're not the only ones that have ever dealt with a hard time. And so God gives us His Word. And much like Pastor preached this morning, the examples of Scripture of those that went through difficulty and kept their faith in God. And I believe that that's exactly what we find here in this passage. And so I want you to turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 18, because I want you to see the context or really the change that David is going through. Of course, if you're familiar with the book of 1 Samuel there in chapter 17, David had just defeated Goliath. Even before that, he had been anointed to be the next king over Israel. And so things were going good. And chapter 18, the Bible says in verse 1, after he had defeated Goliath, the Bible says, it came to pass. Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would let him no more go home to his father's house. David is experiencing some victories. Some good things are happening. He's been anointed king. He's defeated Goliath. Now he's been invited to live at the palace, which, by the way, if you're going to be the king, would be a natural next step. He'd be able to be there in the palace to be mentored by King Saul. And yet the Bible says in verse 5, David went out whithersoever Saul sent him. He behaved himself wisely, and Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. He's been made to be the commander-in-chief over the Israeli armies there, and he's much respected there in that land, even as a very young man. And God's doing some things in his lives. However, very quickly, things began to change. The Bible says there in verse 6, it came to pass as they came when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul, with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. You have to understand what's going on here in this passage. David and Saul and the army of Israel were coming back, and there's much rejoicing. The Goliath of Gath, who has given them much problems, he's been destroyed, he's been defeated, and so the people, they gather in the streets, and it's almost a celebration of sorts, a parade, if you will, as they walk down the streets. The Bible says in verse 7, the women answered one another as they played, and said, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. They're there and they're lining the streets, and possibly one side of the street would say, Saul has slain his thousands. The other side of the street, they would answer back, and David has slain his 10,000s. And the people of Israel, they're rejoicing. And they're going back and forth, and they're answering one another as they give this cheer. And yet the Bible says in verse 8, and Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? The Bible says Saul began to be very jealous, thought there was about to be a coup and they would make David king. And of course, what Saul had no understanding of at that point, that God had already anointed David king over Israel. And yet the Bible says in verse 9, and Saul eyed David from that day and forward. That was the day that everything began to change in David's life. He had been on a mountain, and now it's almost as though he's in a valley. The Bible says that Saul would attempt to take his life on two separate occasions right there in the palace. Can you imagine that? I mean, here is a national hero, and the king gets angry and takes a javelin and throws it at him in two different occasions. Doesn't matter who's watching. This is the attempt on David's life. Chapter 19 and verse 1, the Bible says, and Saul spake to Jonathan his son and to all his servants that they should kill David. I mean, everything that was good in his life, the trajectory of his life was going good, and then all of a sudden, things begin to change. That's the setting for Psalm chapter 11. When David would use that word foundations there in verse 3, he says, if the foundations be destroyed, that word foundations, it means political or moral support. In other words, the idea there is all those things that he had around him that gave him just some comfort in the things of this world, the support of the king of Israel, possibly the home that he would live in, that he would feel safe. Possibly the idea of financially safe there, as he would no doubt have been given gifts for defeating Goliath. He's referring to those things around him that made up his moral support. Those things that provided the support he needed to live his daily life and just to live it in a normal capacity. And he says, when those things begin to crumble, what am I left with? Can I tell you, this passage is a reminder that in a relatively short period of time, those things that we drew comfort from in normal everyday life can be gone just like that. I'm amazed as I think back at just what life was like for us just a few weeks ago. Those things that were normal, and whether it was something as simple as being able to take your children to school where they could spend the day with the teacher learning at school, or whether it was being able to go to a shopping mall if you enjoy shopping and being able to do some of that, or the idea of somebody being able to sit down in front of a TV and watch some live sports. I know more than one is dealing with the difficulty of not having March Madness this year. And yet the idea of just some of those things that bring really just some normalcy to our lives. But even beyond that, what about those that are dealing with a virus tonight? Or possibly the worry, what if this affects my family? What if this affects my home? Or what about my work situation? What if this affects our income? How long will this last? Can I say tonight the question that we could ask ourselves tonight, what happens when life changes? What happens when those foundations that were really the comforts of what we lived our life here on this earth, what happens when they begin to erode, when they're destroyed? David says, what can the righteous do? And the reason I love this passage is because I believe God gives David some truths here. And David learned a valuable lesson during this time, and I really believe this is the crux of Psalm 11, and this is the thought, when everything around him that was normal began to change, David found that God never changes. What a great comfort we can understand tonight as we live our lives, that we serve a God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I want to just encourage you tonight that while 3 weeks ago things may have been normal in our lives and while everything else has changed, can I tell you, God has not changed tonight. As we look at the Bible, we find his power as displayed in creation. Pastor Paul talked about the Creator God this morning. The power that God displayed in creation, can I tell you, his power is unchanged today. His presence, we look at the Old Testament and the New Testament saints, and we see the presence of God in their lives as he led them through their lives. Can I tell you, his presence remains unchanged tonight. The truths that he taught his disciples. I love our Sunday night series that pastor's been preaching through as we're studying the life of Christ and the teachings of Christ. And those truths that he taught us are remained unchanged. Truths like seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all these other things, they'll be added unto you. Those kind of truths, can I tell you, those things remain unchanged tonight. As we look at Psalm 11, and David asked this question, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? When everything begins to change in our lives, everything that maybe we had comfort in here on this earth, I believe David would record three simple truths. And I want to go through those very quickly with you tonight. First of all, we find here in this passage that when everything else changes, his presence is unchanged. His presence is unchanged in our lives. I love verse 4. David answers this, and I believe God gave him this answer. He said this, the Lord is in his holy temple. I love that thought tonight. The Lord is in his holy temple. Listen, can I tell you tonight, you can experience the presence of God in your life. You know where you can find God. You can be ushered into his presence. I'm so thankful tonight that when life throws a curveball at me, that I don't have to go on a search for God. I don't have to go on a scavenger hunt to try to find where God is. The Bible reveals that his presence is very much in our lives. His presence remains unchanged, and that the Lord is in his holy temple. I want you to turn over to Psalm chapter 18 and verse 6, just a page over. David would write this psalm, and there's so much comfort as you begin to study these psalms, many of them written in times of difficulty. And David would say in Psalm 18 and verse 6, in my distress, I called upon the Lord, and I cried unto my God. In my distress, I'm so thankful tonight that when we go through difficulties, listen, we can call upon God. I'm so thankful. David records that he cried out before God. Can I tell you? There are many tonight that because of something that's happened or because of worries and fears or maybe just unsettling or maybe just the ability of the church not to assemble as normal. Some of us have cried tears as you've cried out to God in the midst of this. And some have dealt with maybe the loss of a job or another trial in conjunction with this trial. Can I tell you, God listens to our prayers. God hears us when we cry out to Him. We can experience His presence. He says, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. And then I love this part. He heard my voice out of His temple. And my cry came before Him, even into His ears. Listen, when we pray, if you're a Christian tonight, if you're God's child, when you pray to God, you're not just speaking words into the air. You're not just repeating something in your mind. Can I tell you, you're speaking to the Creator of the entire universe. You're speaking to He who has all power. You can come into the throne room of God. You can experience God's presence in your time of difficulty. Can I tell you, as a Christian, we must have the confidence that God hears our prayers. We must know that. Listen, if tonight there are some that are fretting, there are some that are fearing, and God says, bring those things to my throne. Experience my presence. Experience my help, and God will help us because He hears our prayers. They come up before His ears. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12 tonight. Another incredible passage of Scripture. The Bible tells us there in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12, the Bible says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. God is aware of all that we're going through. And can I tell you tonight, as normally on a Sunday night, we as a church would assemble ourselves and this room would be full of Christians and those that are members of this church, visitors coming together and enjoying fellowship and experiencing the presence of God. And I'm so thankful for the services that we have here where we can experience God's presence. But can I tell you that right where you're at tonight, you can experience God's presence? Because even though other things have changed, can I tell you tonight, God's presence remains unchanged. David experienced God's presence in time of difficulty. We won't go back and look at it, but there in 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verses 12 and verses 14, the Bible tells us on two separate occasions and reminds us that the Lord was with David, even in the midst of that difficulty. Even in the midst of Saul trying to take his life, God was with him and he experienced the presence of God. I'm encouraged tonight because we find that when everything else is changing in our lives, His presence is unchanged. As we go back to Solomon chapter 11, I see here that David recorded this thought as well. Not only is His presence unchanged, but tonight His power is unchanged. His power is unchanged. Verse 4, he says, the Lord is in His holy temple. And then he says this, the Lord's throne is in heaven. When we think about the word throne, we think automatically of a king. When we think of a king, we think about power. Those that are kings over a land, they've been given power. In many different times, they've been given a power to grant life or death to someone. They've been given the power to grant whether someone goes forth or is imprisoned or forgiven of something. And yet we find that the Bible says tonight, the Lord's throne is in heaven. Our God has all power. I love this because David was threatened by the king of Israel. And I want you to think about this tonight. The king of Israel of 12 tribes of Israel and gathered it together of one people group. Saul was the king of that group. And yet David could take comfort in the fact that while he was threatened by the king of Israel, the king of all kings, the Lord of all lords was fighting for him. I love the scripture that says, if God be for us, who can be against us? I want to tell you tonight, listen, as we understand maybe some of the troubling times that we're in, can I help you understand that your God is in control? That the King of all kings, the King of universe is in control of these things? I want you to turn over to Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah chapter 66. I want you to see this tonight. This is a blessing that I studied this week. The Bible records there in Isaiah 66. And of course, the Lord would call upon Isaiah to record this scripture. These are the words of God. He says, "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne." And I love that thought. But notice what he says there. He says, "And the earth is my footstool." The place that we inhabit tonight, the earth. The Bible says God's throne is in heaven and the earth is his footstool. Can I tell you, in the midst of this pandemic, I think all of us have probably asked ourselves some difficult questions. You begin to watch the news, and again, there's a lot of information out there. Sometimes it's competing information. Sometimes it's opinion or something like that. But no doubt all of us have been affected by this. Probably asked ourselves, what if this happens? Or what if this virus affects someone that I love? Or again, what about my job situation? Or what happens if this never gets back to normal? Can I tell you, these questions are developed from our frame of mind where we see this gigantic world called the earth. I mean, we look at the world and the earth that we live in tonight, and listen, can I tell you, some 7 billion people here on this planet, if you've ever flown, especially overseas, and you look down and you see a lot of this earth that's uninhabited, and I mean, from the human mind and from the human perspective, this is a huge place. And that's the frame of mind that we attack this from. But I want to remind you tonight that from God's throne in heaven, this world isn't so big. In fact, the Bible describes it as God's footstool. In other words, listen, God has power over everything. God is in complete control, and the things that seem mighty to us, not just this virus, but other trials that we might find ourselves in, other difficulties that we might find ourselves in, they may seem mighty to us, but in comparison to God, they're nothing. Because our God has all power. Listen, can I tell you, that giant Goliath, he must have seemed mighty. As David is standing there and he's looking across that field, as the children of Israel are standing there and they're looking across that field at this Goliath, this giant, he must have looked mighty. Until God used David, a young man, to take a little stone and to put it in a sling and to sling that stone at the Goliath, the giant, and take him down there and help him to understand that God has all things under his control, that God has all power. Can I tell you, our human tendency tonight is to get overwhelmed by that which is right in front of us. Again, whether it be this virus, and listen, I don't ever mean to say that this isn't a big deal and that we shouldn't take necessary precautions, and I'm thankful that God would give us wisdom to know how to act and know how to behave in times like this, but I'm also saying tonight we ought not to worry, because we know that God has all things under his control, that God has all power. And our tendency might be to overwhelm tonight because of how life looks like. But I want to remind you that while everything was changing in David's life, God's power remained unchanged. Finally, back in our passage there in the book of Psalm in chapter 11, not only do we see God's presence remains unchanged, God's power in our life remains unchanged. I love this thought. Finally, David would help us to understand that God's purpose is unchanged. God's purpose for our lives is unchanged. He would say at the end of verse 4, "His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men." And then he says this, verse 5, "The Lord trieth the righteous." I can't help but be reminded of God's purpose for any difficulty that we go through, is that he would work in our lives in the midst of that difficulty. And I can tell you, listen, tonight, that many of us are experiencing difficulty. In fact, everyone has been affected by this. But can I tell you, for the child of God, God not only observes what's going on in your life, God understands what's going on in your life, and God desires to work through the difficult situations. The Lord tries the righteous. The reason he tries the righteous is so that he might mold us and shape us into his image, that he might use the difficult times of life to draw us closer to him. Can I tell you that David had this understanding that God is aware of everything that I'm going through? And God has a plan and a purpose, and a pastor preached a message on that a couple weeks ago. God has a plan and purpose for all things. I tell you, as a Christian, we can take great comfort in that. That God has a plan and a purpose. I love the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1. The scripture there says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. And God desires to use every stage of our life, whether times of blessing or whether times of difficulty, times of trial. Can I tell you, and I remind you tonight, listen, this didn't take God by surprise. He knew exactly the tools that he would give to us as a church and as a country and really as a world, the technology to be able to continue moving forward and really to see the gospel continue to spread. But God has a purpose for this time in our lives. And God will use this time to mold us and to shape us. And God uses everything in our lives to accomplish his purpose. You say, what's his purpose in this? Well, the Bible says in Psalm chapter 11 and verse 7, for the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. I tell you, his purpose in every trial, in every blessing, is that he would develop righteousness within his children. That God would again mold us and shape us. Can I tell you, as we examine this virus, this time in our lives, the greatest outcome that could ever be produced from this virus is that God's people would draw closer to him. That some of these things in our lives that may have taken the place of God in our lives or may have taken some of our attention away from God, some of those things have been removed from our life so that we might draw closer to God. I guarantee you, not only in our church, but across our world tonight, there are Christians that are getting more serious about the things of God. There are those that may be unsaved tonight that are starting to begin to wonder about who God is and is there a God? And those questions are beginning to be asked so that God can use all these things to draw us to him, because God has a purpose in all things. I tell you, a great outcome that could come is that the church would be strengthened because God's people got serious about serving him. That God's people realize, listen, I really didn't understand what I had until I couldn't assemble myself with the church family on a regular basis. Didn't understand the body of Christ and the family and of God and how much it meant to me until it was taken away and I couldn't regularly assemble myself together. I tell you, God can use these times to draw us back to him because his purpose remains unchanged. His purpose in every situation, whether it's a great blessing or whether it's a time of difficulty, is that we would grow. And as I study this psalm tonight, a truth that becomes very apparent in the midst of times of change is that while everything else may be changing around me, I look to a God who does not change. As we examine what we're dealing with in our world tonight, certainly things are changing all around us. Information changes minute by minute. Guidelines change minute by minute. Thought processes change minute by minute. Some of those things that we held to dearly change minute by minute. And yet I love the truth that is found in this book. That while everything else changes, when those foundations are being destroyed, when those foundations are eroding out from underneath us, that God remains the same. His presence remains unchanged. His power remains unchanged. And his purpose remains unchanged. So what does that mean for us as Christians? That we don't have to look to these things that are constantly changing. We can look to him. And we can find our help and our strength in him to get us through even the lowest valleys. What happens when everything changes? We found that our God never changes. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed tonight, I don't know how God may have used this message in your heart and your life tonight. I trust that God has spoken to you through this passage. In just a moment, we'll just have one hymn of invitation. But I want to encourage you tonight, as you're watching, maybe you're dealing with some difficulty right now. Maybe there's some stress or some worry or some fear or just some burdens that you're carrying. Can I tell you, God can help you with those things. We can experience God's presence and God's power and God's purpose, even in the midst of difficult times. And for those of us who are Christians, I trust that you're drawing upon the strength that God can give you during this time. But maybe there's someone tonight that's watching that doesn't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I tell you, the first key to experiencing God's presence is establishing a relationship with Him. The Bible tells us in John in chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. A relationship with God begins by accepting the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ. By accepting Him into your life, and right where you are tonight, you can call upon Jesus and invite Him into your life. If you need help with that, you can call our church office. We have someone here on the phones every day, and someone can help you and take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you'd spend eternity with God in heaven. I trust God has spoken to our hearts tonight, and we're going to pray, and then we'll sing one hymn of invitation tonight. Lord, we come before You tonight. Lord, we're thankful that in the midst of change all around us, Lord, You don't change. What a great comfort that is. And Lord, as we go through this time in our, literally, Lord, our world's history, Lord, I pray that we would experience Your presence like never before. That we would see Your power in our lives on display. Lord, I pray that You would empower Your people to be able to serve You in greater ways during this time than they ever thought possible. Lord, I pray, Lord, that Your purpose, though it remains unchanged, Lord, we have a part in that. Lord, that we would draw close as a result of this difficulty. And I pray, Lord, if there's someone here that doesn't know You as their personal Savior, Lord, tonight I pray that they would call upon You. Right where they sit there, Lord, right in front of their TV or their computer screen tonight, Lord, that they would call upon You and accept You into their life, that they would make You their Lord and Savior. Lord, we love You and we thank You for all that You're doing tonight. In Your name I pray, amen.